Well, then I'm going to begin the recording already by saying that next week is 9 o'clock due to Tanis Esther. Okay, we are on Dalet Amud Beis, and specifically, we are, if you see where the lines get wide and you go up three lines from there, Itmar.
We have a little dock here.
Yeah. Okay. But that's what we're up to. Having finished talking about the tangent case of the wood that fell into the oven, we return to what we were talking about before, which was again an egg laid on Yom Tov, and we talked about the issue of Rosh Hashanah and whether Rosh Hashanah is considered one long kedusha or two separate kedushos, and the various elements that went into that. And now we're going to talk about the case of 2 days of Yom Tov outside of Eretz Yisrael, Itmar. Shnei Yomim Tovim Shagolios, the 2 days of Yom Tov that we have in Galus. So Rab Amar, Nolda Bazeh, Mutares Bazeh. Rab says, if the egg is laid on a day one, so then you're allowed to eat it on a day two, which we understand instinctively, right? Why should that be so?
It's
not only is it two separate days, one of them is Yom Tov, one of them is really not.
Right.
Either the first day is the real day of Yom Tov, in which case, of course, I can use it the next day, or the first day is not the real Yom Tov, in which case it was laid on hold. So nothing to lose. Rav Asi Amar, Nolda Bazeh, Asura Bazeh. Rav Asi disagrees, and he says the egg that's laid on day one is Asur on day two. So the Gemara has to understand Rav Asi. Rav made so much sense. Where's Rav Asi coming from? Lema kasavu Rav Asi kedusha achasi. Is it that Rav Asi believes that these 2 days have the status of one long kedusha? V'ha Rav Asi mavdil miyoma tava l'chavrei. I have news for you. Rav Asi used to make havdalah between the 2 days of Yom Tov Sheni Shalgalios. We have to talk about that and what exactly that means. I want to come back to that. But if he's making havdalah, he clearly doesn't believe that these are the same kedusha. You can't do that. So the Gemara answers, Rav Asi sapuke misapkale v'avid hacha l'chumra v'hacha l'chumra. The answer is that Rav Asi was in a bind. He wasn't sure which way to view the 2 days of Yom Tov. If you take a look at Rashi, the end of the fourth wide line, sapuke misapkale, he was in doubt, imchok chachamim hu shehutal al hagalios l'doros. He wasn't sure whether we should view the second day of Yom Tov as a chok the Chachamim created for Jews in exile for all time. Va'afilu yirbu behem Chachamim yodei ha'itim. Even if they're going to have many sages who know the calendar and know when things are supposed to be set, nonetheless, yiyu osin osan shnayim. They're still going to do 2 days. In kein, harehu midivrei sofrim kiyom aroch. In that case, we would view it as a rabbinic institution that you should have one long day of Yom Tov. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is, oh, im heina so, mamei elehen misafek, v'chad mina yuchol. The other way to look at it is that, no, they created the second day out of doubt, and really one of those days is chol, we just don't know which one. Uleman dekimle b'kivya diyarcha boy avdule. And if you know what the calendar should be, then in fact you make havdalah in between. So Rav Asi wasn't sure how to look at the 2 days of Yom Tov, and therefore he says, I'll be machmir in both directions. On the one hand, I'll treat it as a safek, and therefore I will make havdalah in between. On the other hand, I will treat it as one long kedusha, and therefore the egg laid on day one cannot be used on day two.
Why did nobody bring down the fact that maybe he was talking about Shabbos on Sunday, or would that not be possible?
Because the case that they have is, they know that this is what he did when there were 2 days of Yom Tov. When it was, Yom Tov Sheni Shagolios. That was his case, yeah. It wasn't a one-time thing, this was his policy.
Oh, okay, so
yeah.
Regardless.
Correct. This is what we know that Rav Asi used to do, correct.
Is Rashi saying two different things? Like one is like a chok and one is something different and turn it
yeah.
Again, the kibbutz yarcha?
Exactly. One view is that, well, he says one thing, one way to look at it is it's a chok. We are simply going to observe 2 days for all time, no matter what. I don't care that you have 10 different calendars you received in the mail. The other way to look at it is that it's a suffix, and it's created that way only because of a suffix, because we don't know. But if you would know, you wouldn't need to keep it. In which case, clearly one of those days is actually a whole day.
When he says l'chumra for Havdalah, what is exactly?
So I'm going to come back to that. It's a good question. Hold that question.
Obviously, he couldn't do it and violate. He couldn't do anything that would violate it because that would be the kula. So it's just merely saying a bracha.
So that's, we need to figure that out. It's a big problem.
Some brachas lahalka.
Correct.
So the question is.
And also, it's if it's the raisa, right?
Well, Havdalah could be.
Is
Havdalah the raisa?
The Rambam, the Yontav, is
Havdalah. Yeah.
All of these things we need to discuss. But first, we have to continue the thought here. So we are now at the end of the second wide line on Dalet Amud Beis. End of the second wide line. So Amar Rabbi Zera looks at this situation in which we have Rav saying the egg laid on the first day of a two-day Yom Tov outside of Eretz Yisrael is mutter on day two. And Rav Asi saying, no, it's not. And Amar Rabbi Zera, Kavase de Rav Asi, Mestabra. Rabbi Zera says Rav Asi's view makes sense. Because we, in our own day, know full well what the calendar should be. And yet we do 2 days. So that supports the view of Rav Asi to say that we could view this Yom Tov Sheni phenomenon as a chok. It's simply a rule that even if you know what it should be, nonetheless, you're going to have to observe 2 days. That, he says, supports not Rav Asi for making Havdalah, but Rav Asi regarding the egg. It supports Rav Asi that I can't use the egg on day two. Amar Abaye then says, Kavase de Rav Mistavra. I think Rav makes a lot of sense. Rav says that it's mutter on day two. Why? Disnan, because I have a Mishnah that says the following. It's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Barishona hayumasi en masuos. Initially, they would light bonfires on top of the mountains in order to alert everybody instantaneously that the moon had been seen and witnesses had come and Beis Din had declared Rosh Chodesh. Mishakilkalu hakutim hiskinu shehu shluchin yotzin. The kutim, the Samaritans, corrupted the system. They wanted to wreck our calculation of the calendar because of disagreements that they had with us about when to celebrate certain things. So when they corrupted the system, Hiskinu Shiu Shluchin Yotzin, then they enacted instead to have emissaries go out and emissaries convey the news. The implication is, that's the end of the quote from the Mishnah. And the Gemara there has a discussion. When did you light bonfires? If it was a 30-day month, if it was a 29-day month, that's a separate discussion. But the Gemara's point is now, v'ilu batlu kutim avdinan chayoma. The implication is that it's because of the kutim that you need to send emissaries. And since you need to send emissaries, they only can get so far. Right? If you can broadcast it with bonfires, you can get very far with this information very fast. It's only because I have to send out messengers that I run into trouble. So if there are no kutub, I can go back using bonfires of Avdinan Chayoma. The implication is we would do 1 day of Yom Tov. The Matur Shluchin Avdinan Chayoma. And in fact, wherever the Shluchin do reach, we would do 1 day. So he says, that implies that the Yom Tov Sheni Shalgalios is simply a suffix. And since it's a suffix, it's simply a doubt. Therefore, it's two separate things. The first day is either Chol or Yom Tov. The second day is either Yom Tov or Chol. And therefore, as Rav says, the egg laid on day one is mutter on day two. Except that leaves you with a problem. Because Rabbi Zera just told me that everybody among the Amoraim knows full well what the calendar should be. Not to mention, they also haven't ever seen a kuti. That's not true. There's Samaritans around today. Presumably there's Samaritans around in their day. But the point is, they know where it should be, right? But Rabbi Zera makes Aliyah. That's Rabbi Zera. In any case, v'hashta di'ad inon b'kviya di'yarcha ma'itayma avdin and treyomi. We all know what the day should be, so why are we still doing 2 days? Mishum de'sholchu mitam, because they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael saying, hizaharu b'minhag avoseichem bideichem. Be careful with the practice of your ancestors in your hands. Zimnin de gazri hamalchus gezera v'asi la'akol kule. Because sometimes the empire is going to make some decree and they are going to mess up the system. So, what is this concern for a gzera that's going to corrupt the system. What are you talking about? So Rashi gives the conventional answer. You see Rashi four lines up from the bottom in the middle of the line. Degazi amalchus gzera. They would decree that we not learn the Torah. And then the secret of how to calculate things, when we add a month, when we don't add a month, or whatever Sod HaIbur is, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has a little bit on that, it will be forgotten. And you're going to be doing only one day. And you're going to get into a situation in which everything is going to become corrupted. You'll make a 30-day month, 29 days, 29-day month, 30 days. And in the end, you're going to be to chametz on Pesach. Therefore, keep 2 days. End of this piece. Yeah.
So this was all before the calendar.
So the calendar is set in stages. It's important to realize the calendar was not, when we say Hillel II sets up the calendar in the year 363, it's actually a little bit of an oversimplification. I'm sorry, 359. That's an oversimplification. They did it in stages, where in the beginning they set it in terms of which months will be 30 days and which months will be 29 days. But say the metonic cycle, the idea that we have a leap year or 7 years out of every 19, and it's the 3rd, 6th, 8th, 11th, 14th, 17th, and 19th, that system, I think, is as late potentially as the 8th century. So it's an overtime thing. I once gave a shiur on it. It's fantastic what they've discovered about this using documents from the Cairo Geniza. And one of the subtle ways that they've done it is they look at the dates on the documents and figure out whether those dates can exist based on our calendar. If they were using calendar like ours, certain dates wouldn't exist. Not just because of the
change of date.
Well, I'm not even talking about Gregorian and whatever. They're not using that in the
Geniza. Originally, it was based.
That's a separate thing, right? But the that's fairly early on.
They changed it from the Jewish system to a system based on whatever the people was at the time.
That's in terms of certain year things. And whether you count your years from Bria Sa'olam or what you're counting. But in terms of the issue of when it says Wednesday, the 3rd of Sivan, and we have to figure out, would that be the 3rd of Sivan according to our system? Or there's an Adar Rishon and an Adar Sheni in a year, and based on our calculations, there wouldn't be. So things like that are tip-offs as to what's going on. Of course, you know, I look at that and think, you know how many times we write the wrong days on things because we're not really thinking properly in terms of what the Hebrew date is? You know, someone's going to find a document of ours in another 1,000 years and say, oh, I guess they had a different calendar. No, they didn't. They just forgot to change it to write 5774 instead of 5773. But anyway, what Rashi gives is, I think, the standard read. But take a look on the sheet that I gave you. This event occurs in the year 325.
Rashi, you need a connect still in Rashi to understand it, right? There's a little bit of a disconnect between the Tam and when he says you're going to eat chametz and Pesach and Kedem. Because 2 days, how?
Well, because you're keeping, because you don't know when you're supposed to have 2 days or one day for Rosh Chodesh. Because, well, not really. You don't know which month was 30 days or 29 days.
There are a lot of things
that will go wrong.
Wrong, and it's not necessarily that you eat chametz and pesach.
Why not?
Because, well, if you're off a day, it depends.
And he's giving you that. It's one of the worst possibilities in terms of the punishment.
It's the worst punishment.
The reality is, if you're adding 2 days, and it turns out that it was really only one day, isn't the calendar technically wrong anyways? It's not a true. It's not a true.
You only know if you're one day off. If you're,
no,
if you're more than one day off because of the calendar and the chasers and mole, you're going to be oivrachomitz.
No, but what,
even if you don't keep
the
day.
No, what Alan is asking is an important point. Whatever the Sanhedrin sets up as the calendar is the calendar. But when Hillel, when Hillel Hasheni sits down and says, this is what we're setting up, that gives the Kedusha to the calendar for the future generations. So that if in some community we all decide that Rosh Chodesh has to be two days this year, for this month, and it really is supposed to be one, we don't override what Hillel set up. And we are in the wrong, and potentially we're in trouble.
And potentially you could have Chumash and Pesach.
Now, it's not quite as simple as that, because of the classic Mishnah Berurah on the calendar problem.
But there's the assumption here, the mistake is only on the Chaser Moly. If the mistake is on the entire month of Adar somewhere in the system, it's not going to help you have 2 days Pesach. You're going to have Pesach at a whole different, 3 weeks difference apart. You're going to be over eating comments on Pesach. Because
I don't understand what you're saying.
It seems what Rashi is saying is the Chaser Mole, losing track of the Yisod of a Chaser Mole, will cause us to eat Chametz on Pesach.
If we're keeping only 1 day for
right.
Yom Tov, yes.
But not knowing when to establish a leap year or not to establish a leap year is going to create a whole us keep not eating, eating Chametz on Pesach for the whole week, irrespective of whether it's 2 days Pesach, even if we make 2 weeks Pesach.
I have a feeling that Rashi is working with the assumption that this system of the leap years is going to be known to everybody. The system that by Rashi's day is certainly set up of the 7 years out of every 19 and so on. Rashi's working with the assumption that that's not going to be forgotten. The phrase Sod HaYibur is used in the Gemara not specifically to refer to adding a month to the year, but in terms of in general, how you know when it's a 30-day month, when it's a 29-day month, and the phases of the moon and so on. It's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah where they talk about this secret of the Yibur. But again, the message that he's giving is that you need to look out and keep to this 2-day system in order to avoid a situation in which you're thinking that it's Yom Tov when it's not, or you're thinking it's not Yom Tov when it is. What I was going to say before is that the Mishnah Berurah points out that we're going to run into trouble in terms of our holidays, because as good as our system is, and it's a very good system for matching up the solar and the lunar, still, with every 19-year cycle, you lose a certain number of seconds. And the result of that is that, I think it's either the third or the seventh year of the 19-year cycle, you end up pushing Pesach out of being in the Aviv. The Pesach is too early. It has to do with the fact that in your 19 years overall, you're compensating for certain things, and you end up on one end or on the other end. But you lose this solar correspondence at one point once you get far enough along in history. And the Mishnah Berurah notes the problem, and he says, well, don't worry, because by the time this becomes an issue, Mashiach will have come and he'll take care of it. Now, the way that he looks at it is that we're going to stop using Hillel's calendar, and instead we're going to go back to having witnesses. And therefore, we won't have a problem, because we'll just work with the witnesses, and the Beis Din will set it up as it needs to set it up. Rav Sadia Gaon has a completely different view of how the calendar worked. Rav Sadia Gaon's view is it was always done by calculation. And the purpose of the witnesses, were a later institution, I forget if it was to popularize it, or I forget what his reason, what the reason was for having witnesses within his theory. But he brings this up in the battle with Ben Meir and the change of the calendar and so on. He says the point was never to use witnesses. It was always done by calculation. It's a unique view, but that would change everything in terms of how this works. But going back to our point and the discussion here, the position that Rav takes is that we have 2 days out of doubt. The position that Rav Asi takes is, I'm not so sure. It could be they established you should always do this. According to the view that it's because of doubt, why are we still doing this when we know the calendar? Because we're concerned that things might go wrong. That's the way that he explains it. That Rashi explains it, they're going to ban the study of Torah. But take a look on your sheet. Emperor Constantine's been waiting for us. In the year 325, the church held a council called the Council of Nicaea, in which they made all sorts of rules. And one of the issues that they discussed was the problem with the date for Easter. Because the way that they used to do it was, since it was supposed to correspond with the Pesach Seder and so on, and the whole chronology built around that, it was based on when we have Pesach. Which means that for them to hold their festival, they needed to know when we were doing Pesach. By the way, the Eastern Orthodox Church still does that. When I used to visit at a hospital in Allentown, one of the chaplains on staff was an Eastern Orthodox priest, and he used to complain to me when we had a leap year. He said, "You're throwing off my Easter."
Gives them an extra month to prepare Drosha.
So does the Catholic Church.
The Catholic Church used to until the Council of Nicaea, and they do not anymore.
I think they still do. It's
based on Hallmark now. The second Monday or second Sunday, April or whatever it is.
It's supposed to be Erev. It's supposed to be Mitzi Pesach.
They're not doing it based on Pesach anymore.
It comes out every year like that.
No, it's not.
Look, what's Good Friday come out this year?
No, it does not come out
every
year.
It's not.
Good Friday, there are times when Good Friday does not come out.
Mm-hmm. No,
I'm pretty sure it's
going to be. No, it's not. It's not so.
I mean, they're close many years this year.
Yeah.
They are.
Right, but it often is not. Okay. So, and the reason why was because of this. This is Emperor Constantine's decree after that council. He says, at the council, we also considered the issue of our holiest day, Easter, and it was determined by common consent that everyone everywhere should celebrate it on one and the same day. It seemed very unworthy for us to keep this most sacred feast following the custom of the Jews, a people who have soiled their hands in a most terrible outrage and have thus polluted their souls and are now deservedly blind. Since we have cast aside their way of calculating the date of the festival, we can ensure that future generations can celebrate this observance at the more accurate time which we have kept from the first day of the Passion until the present time. He says, we are now going to unify the church's practices for Easter, and we're going to separate them from what the Jews are doing. And the idea, and they, as a result of this, the historians say, there was an attempt not only to wean everybody from when the Jews are celebrating Pesach, but to actually stop the Jews from doing their calculations. Because that way, if the Jews can't make their calculations, then you're going to for sure be able to untether everybody from the way the Jews are doing Pesach. They're not going to have the ability to make their proper calculations anymore.
So how do they calculate it then?
So again, I don't. You'd have to look it up online. I don't remember. The Easter calculations. You need somebody else. No, it's something to do with Sundays in April. The bigger question that we have to tackle here is what in the world Rav Asi was doing. When we say that Rav Asi made Havdalah between the first day and second day of Yom Tov Sheni, because he wanted to be strict, that creates all sorts of problems, because we do have a rule of subbing brachos lahakel. You're not sure whether to say a bracha or not, you go leniently, which we assume means don't make the bracha. So take a look at Rashi.
Could have made without the Shema Mefarish.
Well, Shema Mefarish he's not using anyway.
Without the Shema, some say Baruch Shepetrani, without the...
Take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, it's the third of the wide lines, middle of the line. V'harav Asi Mavdil, umavarech hamavdil bein kodesh l'chol. Dekasavar kimlan bekiva diyarcha. The Yom Tov Sheni Chol Gomer Hu Mishumina Gavosenu. He says that Rav Asi made the real bracha of Hamavdil. That he said we know when the calendar should be, and Yom Tov Sheni is really a weekday, and it's just kept because that was their minhag. Shelo Yadu Bekviyas Hachodesh Kamonu. They didn't know how to calculate like we do. They did out of doubt, so because of them, we're now going to do it too. So the way that Rashi understands this, it sounds like he's actually making the bracha. Even though there is such a bracha as Baruch Hamavdil, what people say to end Shabbos, that's not what he means. He's saying you're making a bracha. So what do I do about Sabi Brachas Lahakel? So take a look at the sheet that I gave you, and we'll see the Ritva. The Ritva is going to offer us two possibilities. Source Aleph. Rav Asi Sapuke Mesapkale Hiksha Haritva Dimishum Sfeka Hechi Machis Nafshe Lomar Havdala. The Ritva says, if he's in doubt, how is it that he's allowed to say Havdala? Uvisafik Bracha She'ina Tzricha She'esh Pamishum Losisa, right? He's potentially saying an unnecessary Bracha. That's Losisa Hashem Hashem Alekecha Lashav. That's a very serious prohibition. The Tirates, and the Ritva answered, Ki be'emtza ha'tfila haya mavdil, v'yachosein v'birchas yom tov. So he suggests that what he actually did was he included it in Shmona Esrei. He said Havdalah as part of Shmona Esrei, like an atachon antanu vatodienu type of a paragraph, but he didn't have a Baruch Atah Hashem at the end. He still concluded his bracha with Baruch Atah Hashem and so on.
And that's better with a bracha with the Soser?
Well, actually, it sounds worse, because exactly, it's self-contradictory. Someone asked me a question the other day. What happens if someone says Yalav Yavo and it's not Rosh Chodesh? So the Shulchan Aruch writes that if a person says Yalav Yavo when it's not Rosh Chodesh, he does not go back, because it's not a case of Shah Kadei Ligmor. It's considered an interruption in your Shmona Esrei, but it wasn't an interruption that was long enough that you could have finished Shmona Esrei in the interim, and therefore, so it was a Hesek, but it doesn't disqualify your Shmona Esrei. That's the Shulchan Aruch's position.
Like, for example, if you do a Chol Shmona Esrei on Shabbos,
Well, that's a separate reason. That's because the weekday brachos are technically relevant, and we're just not going to be matriarchy. But but it's as though if you had somebody who was davening Shmona Esrei, and then for some reason he paused, and he was spaced out. He was thinking about other stuff. As long as the gap there is not long enough that he could have said an entire Shmona Esrei during the gap, he just keeps right on going once he returns to Earth. So to here, that's the Shulchan Aruch's position. But the Mishnah Berurah says, if you look at the Achronim after the Shulchan Aruch, they disagree. Because it's not only a matter of the Alev Yavo being an interruption in Shmona Esrei, it's a contradiction of the truth. He lied. He declared a Yom Rosh HaChodesh Hazeh. You can't do that. So he says, it depends on what it is that you said by mistake. If you said Yalav Yavo by mistake, Mishnah Berurah says you do have to go back, because what you said just is flat out not true. You can't stand before God and say something that's not true. Whereas, he says, if you say Havdalah, if you say the text of Havdalah in Shmona Esrei, like an Atachon Antanu in Shmona Esrei, as long as you don't say, and now we are ending Shabbos, now we are ending Yom Tov, and in fact our paragraph of Atachon Antanu does not declare that, so then you're good. Because you simply declared that God makes distinctions between Kodesh and Chol and so on. So that would fit.
So that would fit with this.
That would fit with what Rav Asi is doing here.
But somebody asked, but what does he do for the fact that he's doing a Yom Tov Dika Mariv?
Yeah.
It's a contradiction in terms.
Well, but it's not.
It's not the same too.
But it's not, because he's now saying there is such. If it's Yom Tov, his Shmona Esrei is good, and his declaration that God makes Havdalos doesn't matter.
But he's not doing it on the basis of Al Tanai. He's basically saying it's based Yom Tov, and then he's saying.
Right, so we are looking at it. We are looking at it as a Tanai, though, because he says, I'm not sure. That's his whole point. He's a Buki Misafkale. He's uncertain.
But it'll answer why the Bracha itself, that self contained Bracha, is not a Stira.
Right.
One is praising God for being Mavdil. It's like when you say Pakeh Ibrim, you don't have to be blah, you know. It's worded in the Lashon that it's not a stira for you to say.
Right.
It's just saying in general, a Kaddish Baruch Hu is Mavdil.
Right.
And that's a praise of a Kaddish Baruch Hu that he's Mavdil.
But the Ritva then offers us a second answer. And the second answer is entirely different. The Inami, he says, alternatively, Kevin de Midel Raisa Chol Gomer Hu Ledivrei HaKol. Since everybody agrees that biblically the second day is a weekday, right? The second day is not Yom Tov. It's Chol HaMoed, it's Chol, whatever you want to call it. It's not Yom Tov. V'chazi l'Havdalah, and therefore technically is appropriate to have a Havdalah. Leka Mishum Bracha L'Vatala. Therefore, there is no Bracha L'Vatala issue. The Isser Bracha Levatala de Rabbanani, because the whole concept of Bracha Levatala, the idea that when I say a Bracha and it's not needed, it's considered in vain, that itself is rabbinic. Kedepirish Rabbeinu Tam's Alva Mesechas Brachas, Rabbeinu Tam says that in Brachos. He actually says it also in Rosh Hashanah Malam
Gimel. Rambam is much more machmir when it comes to Brachos.
Correct. But he's quoting Mitosvos. The Chiyuv Havdalah Midel Raisa Ben Kodesh L'Chol. He says Havdalah is a biblical obligation. The Kevin Shekain Shabir Ika Levaruchei Al HaSafek. So then it makes sense. You make a bracha when you're in doubt. Because here I have a mitzvah de Raisa of Havdalah and a concern to Rabbanan about bracha levatala. So I will take my de Raisa of Havdalah. The Chol Bracha Shel Torah Im Hu Safek Yachol Levarich Al Sfeikan. Any time you have a doubt about a biblical bracha, you make the bracha. And then he says, but you should know Rav Asi is a lone voice here. Don't start doing this. That's
a compelling argument why you should be doing it.
Well, that's the Ritva's statement.
Regardless.
Yeah. The Maharam Shin.
If you don't do it, how do you eat? So how do you have the Simchas Yom Tov next day? Can't eat after, can't eat
well, you can,
Havdalah.
But you can. Because the reason why I can't eat without Havdalah is why?
Oh, because here, right.
So the reason
it goes away,
right. The reason I'm not allowed to eat
right.
is because if I eat, I'm going to forget to do Havdalah. But if you tell me I can't make Havdalah, then of course I can eat.
Right.
You're not letting me. It's not my problem.
Right.
The Maram Shif also says you're allowed to volunteer. I didn't bring it on the sheet. But he also says you're allowed to. He says that what the Chachamim did was not to say no making Havdalah, but to suspend the obligation to do it. So you can volunteer a bracha. Yeah, more or less. They suspended the obligation. So he said, so I'm going to do it. I can volunteer. So that's how they deal with the Suffolk Brachos idea. Either, as Rashi says, it was like a Vatodienu in Shmona Esrei. The first answer of the Ritva, not Rashi. The Ritva said he did it with a Vatodienu in Shmona Esrei. Or, alternatively, you're allowed to volunteer a bracha. But there's a second problem. We've been addressing it in terms of bracha levatala. But what about source base? Source base is a Mishnah in Erevin. Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas Omer, Ha'over lifnei ateva b'yom tov shel Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas says, the fellow who is the chazan on Rosh Hashanah, Omer, he declares the following as part of his davening. Hachalitzeinu Hashem Elokeinu es yom Rosh HaChodesh hazeh im hayom im lamachar. That you should say to God, as the chazan on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem, you should energize us, you should rescue us, however you take Hachalitzeinu, there are different ways to explain it, but Hashem, you should do this for us on this Rosh HaChodesh, whether it's today or whether it's tomorrow. And then, Lamachar, the next day, who omer im hayom im emesh, today or yesterday, whichever was the right one. V'lohodu l'chachamim, and the chachamim did not like it. And the Gemara has a discussion about why they didn't like it.
This is a Mishnah.
So the Gemara has a discussion about why the Chachamim didn't like it. Was it because he mentioned Rosh Chodesh, and you're not supposed to mention that on Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah overpowers Rosh Chodesh. Or because of a concern for Zilzul, and that's the opinion in the Gemara and Daf Mem there, that we are concerned about degrading Yom Tov in everybody's eyes. If the Chazan gets up there and says, I'm not really sure today is Rosh Hashanah, so in case it's not, you know, except I feel for tomorrow, it's going to cause everybody to consider Rosh Hashanah a joke. So what's his justification for doing this? So there are a couple of different answers. Three answers, actually. The Shita Mekubetzes offers one answer to say that Rav Asi ended his Havdalah by saying Bin Kodesh L'Kodesh. He didn't say Bin Kodesh L'Chol. So therefore, he's declaring the other day to be Kodesh in his language. Okay. The second answer is that Rav Asi isn't concerned about Zilzel. They didn't bother Rav Asi. We have a similar idea. The Ritva in Sukkah Mem Zayin talks about someone who sits in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. The question, well, what are you, you know, you're now degrading Shmini Atzeres, because people are going to say, well, that means this is really the seventh day of Sukkot. And according to the view that says you sit in the Sukkah, he's not concerned about Zilzel. Or maybe a third possibility you could suggest, since it does say that he's trying to keep both days, maybe he's not concerned about causing people to degrade it, because people who hear his Havdalah are also going to see that he still treats the next day as Yom Tov.
Yeah, and the very same, not only that, in his Lashon, the very same bracha, he's acknowledging Yom Tov.
Oh, you're talking about the one in Erevin. I'm talking about his...
No, I'm saying that you can distinguish the case of Rashi from the Mishnah, because one is an obvious Zilzel, he's proclaiming it in his middle of his tefillah, saying, well, maybe it's not Yom Tov. I mean,
right.
We're here, especially if we hold... Like the Todienu style bracha, that he's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not so much being Mavdil. So even if he said Lechol, it's just praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's Mavdil, and it's not so much Zilzel.
Right, could be. Hey, letter Gimel there, in the third one that I brought you there, that's the Rosh, but he's the one who says that here, that Rav Asi isn't concerned about Zilzel. It's that, and it's the Ritva in Sukkah Mem Zayin.
He doesn't say he's never concerned about Zilzel, or that Zilzel is less applicable in this case.
He doesn't distinguish.
Yeah. Well, you brought down the issue of keeping 2 days because there will come a time when you will not be able to learn. So you didn't appear that our obviously in this role, because that's not what we do there, but why?
So that's a really interesting question. So I think the assumption has to be that, well, I would say two things. I'm going to say one, because I think the other one is wrong. I think what I would say is, because you can't skip the part of the line that says, Hizaru b'minhag avoseichem bidechem. There is a minhag here of doing 2 days. That goes back to the time when, in Israel, they were doing 1 day, and they were sending out the messengers. So since we have a minhag of do 2 days, therefore keep on doing 2 days. They never had such a minhag, so they didn't institute it at that point. And the reason that that's very important is, it's a longer discussion, not for now, but in all the discussions about whether today you should have a Yom Tov Sheni or not, one of the pieces that comes up is, what if a Jewish community is formed in a place that never had Jews before? So there is no minhag.
There was really only one day. They, it was actually in the Shiloh Exeteral, which was Rosh Hashanah. Every other day it was
no, but I'm talking about it. But if Jews suddenly moved to, if Jews moved to Yellowknife or whatever, you know, someplace where there are no Jews, there's no minhag. So maybe they should do one day.
It was purely attached to the place as opposed to the fathers.
Well, no, but attached to the place where previous generations of Jews lived.
But don't we have a
where there was a practice? There was an established practice.
Haven't the Chronin said, though, that there is the concept of when you do move to a new community, that you should you adopt the minhag with these type of things of the closest community that might be next to it?
Why would that be
seeing that? I remember.
The only thing I can think of that's like that is regarding Zmanim. When you have places where Zmanim don't make sense.
Oh, this is the exact issue. This is a common Zman. This is one of the, this is a subset of a Zman issue.
No, I mean, like, when you get near the poles and so you have calendars that don't make any sense halachically. So, and they say take the nearest community. But it's, other than that, I'm not familiar with that.
Sounds different.
Meaning?
We get 2 days because we're punished early and we're in Golos.
That's a separate point. That's a nice Russia. There are two key lessons.
Some people like it.
The truth is that I'm one of the only people I've ever met who enjoys a 3 day Yom Tov. I think it's great. But there are two key lessons to understand from here. Number one is that this concern about the practice of Yom Tov Sheni and why are we doing Yom Tov Sheni is not new. Yeah, when people ask the question nowadays, I know when the calendar is. Yeah, and in the Gemara they also knew when the calendar was.
Right.
And they also asked, so why are we doing this? And that's become the minhag, is they ask, why are we doing this? The second point, though, the Maharam Shif's point, that the mitzvah is not canceled, but it's made optional. That becomes very important in terms of what has become known colloquially as the day-and-a-half approach in Israel. Right, you've heard of this. When Chutznikim go to Israel for Yom Tov, so there are those who say 2 days, there are those who say 1 day, and then there's the Machmir position that is the day and a half, in which on Yom Tov Sheni, you have to keep all the chumros as though it is Yom Tov, but on the other hand, you put on tefillin, as though it's a weekday.
But that's the concern for tefillin, is it not?
Yes. It's the concern for the mitzvah of tefillin, but there's no reason to really limit it to tefillin. So take a look at Source Dalet. Rav Chiel Michal Tokachinsky, in his Ira Kodesh V'Hamikdash, talks about the practice of Rav Shmuel Salant, the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim at the start of the 20th century. He says, V'chosni zikni mori morenu v'rabbeinu agon Rav Shmuel Salant zatzal, asher daito nata l'shitas rabbeinu chacham tzvi, sheb'eretz Yisrael she'in mashgichin al daito l'achzor. The position of a chacham tzvi is, a chutznik who's in Israel keeps 1 day. It doesn't matter that he's planning on going home. You follow the minhag of the place where you're located right now. So he says, my father-in-law, Rav Shmuel Salant, believed in that. Ela shela ratza chosni zikni morenu v'rabenu lachlo, or morenu v'rabi, lachlo k'legamri al rabosav. But he didn't want to disagree with his mentors. V'chlalam gon Yisrael bal pa'as ha-sholchan, that's miyasti ha-yishuv ha-eretz Yisraeli, that's Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov. In Helchos Eretz Yisrael, Beis Hesvav, he took the stance that you keep 2 days. Ulevata legamrias haminhag hakodemet, he didn't want to cancel the existing minhag. Lefichach pasak l'sho'alav shayinagu hakol l'chumrah. So he told those who asked him to do everything strictly. B'motzai yom tov rishon yishma ha'oreach havdala mipi ben Eretz Yisrael. So he said, if you're a chutznik visiting Eretz Yisrael, you should hear havdala after the first day from somebody. V'lo yikadei shalakos, and he should not make kiddush on a cup of wine. He was very strict in his day and a half application.
Despite the comment at the end of the Ritva that seemed to say that, because it seems to be a Ravasi approach,
mm-hmm.
And the Ritva dismisses it.
But what you're seeing here is this idea that yes, it's possible to end up it's possible to end up taking on all these extra, apparently extra things. It's, they don't become usur because of the creation of Yom Tov Sheni. They become optional. And just the Ir HaKodesh HaMikdash, just take one second to explain what that is. It's a very important work. It has five halakim, five parts to it. I'm not really familiar with that much with the part that I took this from. This I saw referenced in an article by a friend of mine, Rabbi David Brofsky. But the other part of it that I think is very worth reading is about the debate about the Beis HaMikdash in our day, whether you can build a Beis HaMikdash today. Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, writing it's a couple of hundred years ago, argued that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. And he had answers for every question about, well, there's Tumah, and we don't know who the valid Kohanim are, and the Beit HaKehuna, and what's the site for the Beis HaMikdash, and he had ways to answer everything. And every Chacham of his time argued against him and wrote letters against what he was saying and pamphlets and whatnot, and there was a whole back and forth. So Rav Tokachinsky in the Ir HaKodesh HaMikdash collects the back and forth she does and lays them out in a very orderly way. It's a very worthwhile read. Okay. In any case, that concludes this segment here as far as the egg that's laid on the first day of a 2-day Yom Tov outside of Eretz Yisrael. We've now dealt with the status of the egg on the day that it's laid, right? That was our Mishnah that took us up until this point. Now we talked about the Shnei Yom Tov Mishal Galios, and now we move on from that to talk about the status of Rosh Hashanah. For the Shnei Yom Tov Mishal Galios, the conclusion is Tzemach Lokas, Rav and Ravasi. But we'll follow Rav and say that the egg laid on day one is Mutter on day two. Okay, so what do we do with the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? So at least we'll start the Gemara on this. We'll have to come back to it next time. But Itmar, Shnei Yamim Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah, Rav Ushmuel the Amri Travayu Nolda Baze Asura Baze. For the 2 days Yantif that are Rosh Hashanah, Rav and Shmuel agree, egg laid on day one is Asur on day two.
That's different than
Rav. Well, it's talking about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is different. This none, like the Mishnah says, Barishona hayu mekablin edus hachodesh kol hayom. Originally, they accepted testimony about the moon all day long. Pam achas nishtahu ha'edim lavo. But once the witnesses delayed, they didn't get there until late in the day, and they didn't know if this was Aleph Tishrei or if this was Lamed Elul. So v'niskankalu ha'levim b'shir, and the song that the Levim were supposed to sing with the avoda was corrupted. Something went wrong with the song. What went wrong? We have to discuss. It's a three-way machlokas. Hiskinu shaloyu mekablin esaedim ela ad hamincha. So they decided we are only going to accept edus until mincha. That's it. We can't accept edus beyond that. So then what happens? What happens if edim show up? Vimbo edim min hamincha ulamala noagin osu hayom kodesh ulamachar kodesh. Witnesses show up after mincha, then that day is treated as having been Yom Tov. And the next day is also going to be treated as Yom Tov. Rashi explains what we mean when we say that. And to make a long story short, what Rashi says is that, well, we'll take a look at it. If you see Rashi ad hamincha, so he says, Ad HaKrovas Tamid Shel Bein HaArbayim. You would accept them until they brought the afternoon karban. Aval La'achar Mikan, but after that, Oso Hayom Harehu Me'ubar. That day becomes the 30th day of Elul. Umonin Miyom HaMachras Liyom HaKippurim V'Sukkis. And you start counting to Yom Kippur, to Sukkis, from the next day.
That's day one or day two?
Day two. In other words, well, no, this is talking about the, right, that's right. V'Yimbo Eidim and Amincho Lamala.
Right.
But what you're going to do is you don't want people to take this 30th day of Elul lightly now. So therefore, you're going to have them treat that day as Kodesh. You treat that day as Kodesh, because otherwise, what's going to happen is people are just going to assume that soon enough, witnesses are going to show up, and today will turn out to have been nothing. So therefore, they're not going to take the day seriously. So in order to get them to take it seriously, you're going to treat that day as Kodesh as well. But the upshot is, because of the mess with the Song of the Levium, you're going to say, stop, don't accept witnesses. witnesses can only be accepted until this time, and that's it. But realize what you've now done. Your witnesses, the fact that you have witnesses means that today was really Rosh Hashanah. Today was Aleph Tishrei. Now, tomorrow is going to be Aleph Tishrei. All because of concern about the Levim singing the wrong song. You've now thrown off the entire Luach for the whole year. You follow?
Yep.
There's something striking about that. You're throwing off the Luach for the entire year because you want the Levim to sing the right song with the Karban. So we have to talk about why in the world you're able to do that and what exactly it was with the song anyway that happened.
When was the song?
Sorry?
Oh,
well, no, you're right. It is just the month. It is just the month because after that, it'll be corrected with the next month's witnesses. Right? No, it's the. You're right. It's that month, but it's the thing we call Yom Kippur.
Yeah, the problem with Yom Kippur, which we could have kept 2 days anyway. Yom Kippur, really.
Well, when did they sing that child came?
Yeah, of course.
When did they sing the song?
Yeah. So we have to talk about this. We have to figure out what song this was. What did they sing? What should they have sung? That's going to be a mess. That's the three-way machlokes. We'll have fun with that one. Okay.
All right, okay.